You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
This doesn't surprise me.
I think that sends the right message on so many different levels.
What a crock, eh?
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Welcome. The Thursday edition begins. Joining us from the National Post is Christy Blatchford. Hello, Christy.
Hello.
Queens Park reporter for the Globe and Mail, Laura Stone, for her second time back on The Rush. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
And Scott Reed, News Talk 1010, political analyst and all-around good fella. How
all
are
around.
You, pal? All around. So much to talk about. Let's go.
Awesome. So Doug Ford flip-flopping?
Wait, we have to tell people how tiny you are. They can't see you. You're in a broken chair. You're three apples high. You're a Smurf.
Jay has given me his defective chair, which I was laughing at him earlier this week.
Yeah, it just kept dropping.
So literally I sat in and I'm on the floor. Basically, the mic is all the way down, but I am gamely still doing the show. So all circumstances are doing
if it. Makes you feel any better, I'll just drop down too.
Everyone all together.
There you go. We're all going low.
They're all going All right.
Let's go.
So the question is, Doug Ford flip-flopping with his respect for democracy is the question here. So we heard today that the Ontario government is now taking their fight against the carbon tax to the Supreme Court. Previously, the premier had said he would wait to see the results of the federal election before deciding if they're going to proceed with the court case, which obviously will be expensive for taxpayers and cost things. But today, the provincial government announced they're going forward. Christy, what do you think?
I don't know.
what day is it, right? Flip-flop.
Yeah, flip-flop, flip-flop. Maybe it's not a flip-flop. Maybe this somehow is encompassed by the premier's love for democracy. You have certain filing deadlines and you have to get your paperwork done. I'm not sure that they don't have to do this now if in case the Liberals or NDP do not win the election, and they then have said that they would carry on with their court case. So I'm not sure. Nobody ever explains any of this. They just say they're doing it or they're not doing it. So I don't know the rationale, but maybe there is one.
So Laura, you're down at Queen's Park. What did you hear about this today?
Well, what I heard the day that Premier Ford was talking about this, saying that he believes in democracy. It's not up to the courts to decide about the carbon tax, it's to the voters. I can tell you his staff was very surprised that he was saying this, and they were running around like chickens with their heads cut off trying to explain what he meant. And I think this was just a case of the premier undermining his own message somewhat. Today was the filing deadline, as Christy notes. So they had to do it today, and we'll see what happens, but they needed to keep their options open, and so that's what they've done. Certainly last week when Premier Ford said this, people were surprised, but he could also change his mind at any minute and go back. But he did essentially say last week that it no matter what happens, if the Liberals win or if the Conservatives win, they're going to look at dropping this case, because if the Conservatives win, it's going to be moot. And if the Liberals win, then the voters have decided.
So, Scott, I know you're not a huge fan of this government or this court case.
Right.
But do you think it makes sense? Obviously, they had the court filing deadline, so they had to proceed. Do you think they're going to make some political hay out of this, and this is going to be a factor in the next election, like the federal one?
Well, I mean, that's why they're doing it. And they need to file in order to preserve their options, sustain the fiction that this thing is live, and they try to create conflict and all of that. I'm not certain it actually works. I'm not certain in Ontario that this thing plays to the political disadvantage of Trudeau, because I think it's half-assery. Like, I'm with Laura. I think it's pure half-assery on the part of Doug Ford.
I didn't use that term exactly, but
she didn't say half-assery.
Yeah, she did. It's the premier's like bolting out, saying one thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's saying one thing. His staff saying another. No one knows what's going on. There's no message discipline and rhetoric. I know this. This Supreme Court challenge, right, will be supremely turned down. They won't even hear it. Like, they just won't. It's just a joke. And so he's only preserving his options in order to sustain the fight. And that makes the bet politically, with all of our taxpayers' money, that it works. That politically against Trudeau. And I'm not sure it does. Trudeau's not happy about it.
It's not going to cost a whole lot to have filed and met the filing deadline. The money comes when you start moving through the court process. So I don't think this will be a terribly expensive thing. And
$750 an hour for these lawyers.
Oh, please. That's a discount rate.
I'm kidding. I know. Well, I'm assuming there's some kind of government rate.
And I only point out that, you know, liberals have great confidence in what the Supreme Court is going to do or not do. As we know, many of the former Supreme Court judges and SNC were roped into, you know, working for various parties in that thing. So, I hate hearing people say, and I love you, Scott, you know that, but
I just think they're wrong. I think as a matter of law, they'll say sorry. There's no basis for an appeal, and they'll just say we're not even going to hear it.
Sure, and that's your opinion, and fair enough, but, you know, I am cynical.
I don't think it's a political conspiracy. I just think it's a matter of law. It doesn't even qualify.
My point is, though, that I don't like hearing anybody talk about high court judges like that, as though you know what they're going to do, because no one knows what that court does. That's a pretty independent court, thank God.
Moving on to a story we're following that we just talked about this afternoon. Lots of opinion at 7:10:10 and on our phones as well. The union representing the LCBO and their workers wants the Crown Corporation to compete with private cannabis retailers in the province. Ontario Public Service Employees Union President Smokey Thomas calling upon the provincial government to run a needs assessment to determine the right number of brick and mortar pot shops, suggesting the LCBO either be allowed to open new standalone cannabis stores to meet demand or enter a third lottery to be held by the provincial regulator alongside new private applicants in order to obtain retail licenses. Now, obviously, this pot rollout hasn't exactly gone as everybody had hoped for, Christy. And I have to tell you, having recently spent some time in the East Coast, and I've seen the liquor store model whereby cannabis is sold at a separate part of the liquor store, it certainly seems to work very well. It seems super civilized. And I wonder if there's not room for both to coexist in Ontario.
I agree with you, and I agree with Smokey Thomas. I think it is absolute insanity to not at least allow the LCBO to bid for some of these private retail outlets. They know how to do this kind of thing. So they're the experts, in fact. So, yeah, I agree with you.
And a lot of people, Laura, today pointing out, you know, they've got the bricks and mortar already set up. They've got the infrastructure. They're already selling a controlled substance, and they've already got the staff. So why not let us in the game?
Because this was Kathleen Wynne's idea, and we can't pursue Kathleen Wynne's ideas. I think in this case, you know, if Smokey Thomas calls for something, it's pretty much a guarantee that the government's not going to do it because he's always griping about this government,
right.
And I don't think that they're fans of each other. I think, yeah, I mean, a mixture of both could work in the future, but I don't see the government pursuing this very quickly to make this big of a change after they already overturned the system and said that they were just going to do private shops.
So if the rollout has been this slow and this poorly done thus far, do you see the Conservative government allowing this to go as long as it possibly takes and still seeing a slow rollout? Or do you see them eventually, yeah, being rolling back a little bit and saying, you know what, maybe we will make room for this. Just make it our own idea to make it sort of easier to swallow.
I don't think they'll make it their own idea yet because there's an ideological divide here, right? And we don't want unionized play in here. I think that's what's coming out of Queen's Park. I think that's coming out of Doug Ford. And I don't think they're going to change that point of view. So I don't think they'll do the mixed model for that reason. I don't get wound up about this issue. I think that when people roll out stuff like this, when governments have to roll out something like this, people are always dissatisfied with it. And they always say, if only the model was a little bit different, then it would be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. It's always going to be clunky doing something as disruptive and new as this. And so I don't know if this model would be marginally better or marginally worse. But, you know, I don't think there's a chance in hell that Doug Ford is going to do something that Smokey Thomas wants.
So that's what I've just learned this afternoon. It's just I'm not going to have Smokey present any of my ideas anywhere. I have a contract negotiation coming up. Smokey wanted to represent me. Not going to happen anymore.
As a general rule, no. Other than Smokey Robinson, nobody named Smokey should ever be championing your thoughts.
You don't want the bear.
No.
You don't want Thomas.
Right?
You don't
Tracks
want
of my tears. After that, it's no good on the Smokey.
Absolute classic. All right, let's talk about a story out of Quebec today. Concerning distracted driving, a man there was driving with his partner, and she was holding up her cell phone and showing him GPS directions on her phone. He was looking, spotted by police, then pulled over and given a distracted driving ticket. Now, that ticket eventually overturned in the province of Quebec, the judge thereby saying there that despite the fact it wasn't properly affixed to the dash, it doesn't constitute distracted driving. So, you know, we need to know from the panel, is looking at a phone being held by a passenger a qualification for you, at least, Christy, of distracted driving?
Yes. And this guy was also on his phone via Bluetooth. And his wife, helpfully as the navigator, is holding up the phone for him to look at. Now, how do you look at a phone and keep your eyes on the road? You don't. It doesn't take long to cause an accident. So I think absolutely, I think the judge is a doofus and he got it wrong. And this is certainly distracted driving.
Scott, all right.
Go ahead. This doesn't happen that often.
All right.
We had a little tension earlier, but this is a full-on disagreement between me and Christy. I am like, you know what? If you get a license, you have to put up with having some things happen around you. You're not in a space capsule locked in with nobody else around you. It could be a phone. Hey, what about this GPS? It could be a photograph of the kids. It might be a map. It might be a cigarette. It might be anything. Part
porn.
Of driving. Porn. It could be porn. Here, Henry, have a look at that. I just think, you know, part of driving is that you're going to have to learn to ignore stuff that doesn't keep you on the road. And looking at your phone and texting is not on. But this idea, like, just because it's her phone that she was holding up, if it had been something other than her phone, there wouldn't have been a charge.
He's already on the phone. He's having a conversation.
That's not what they said the charge was about. They said charge was about her thing, though.
No, you're right. Bluetooth is legal, so they can't charge with that. But my point is, his already tiny amount of attention left on the road because he's talking to someone on the phone via Bluetooth is then, you know, he's got his wife waving the Jeep. Look, turn here.
Surrender ourselves
to gauche, Carlos.
My question is, who shows a driver something on a phone while you're sitting next to them? The kind of the point of having someone there helping you out with directions is to actually just tell you about it and you're not showing them the phone.
Yeah, how hard would it have been to just read the instructions?
I guess he's on the phone, so she had to show him the phone.
We drive in different cars. My passengers are like, hey, I'm mixing a drink. Would you like a gin? And I'm like, no.
You have 35 kids in your car anytime.
Exactly.
It's a fine line though, right? Because yeah, it's like, oh, you just look at one little thing. Oh, you send one quick text and then you're full on having conversations and someone breaks in front of you really fast and everything's over. So I agree with Christy on this one.
All right, we're
Scott. Thank you.
Let's end on a fun note and get the panel's opinion on this one quickly.
So we have a question for you that will tell us secrets about your soul.
That's right.
Do you wash your clothes before you wear them when you buy them? So a study's come out that's basically saying there's chemicals, there's potential irritation. People have tried it on beforehand. So do you think that's an issue or do you just get them out of the bag and throw them on? I will say I am not.
You're wearing them new.
I'm wearing them new. Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Christy, I'm washing everything before I wear it. How about you?
Not me, Noah. And just for the record, too, whenever it's new, I keep it quote for good for a while. I take it out and look at it. I walk around in the shoes in the house, but I don't put it in public until I feel comfortable with it. So it has to stay fresh and new. I don't wash it because then it's not for good.
Christy literally does dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
If you practice it, you can't return it. You've got to think about these things for days and sometimes weeks.
Yeah.
And I actually I love the smell of store clothes.
Oh,
is that weird?
You are a serial killer.
I love it.
That's
a amazing.
I love the smell of store clothes in the morning.
I love the smell. I like it better than washing. Sorry.
I came back from Seattle last night. I went to the Pop Museum. I have a t-shirt, a Graham Parsons t-shirt that I'm dying to put on, but I couldn't possibly wear it
until you wash
it
first. That's right.
Come on.
Thank you for being so
honest. Boys are weird. Boys are weird.
Laura Stone, Scott Reed, Christy Blatchford. Agreed. Thank you all so much and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more of this encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.